Shop local with Hill Country Patriot Advertisers.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi, Allison.
Hi, Bill. And hello, Hill Country.
Indeed, Hill Country. We're glad you're with us this morning at 8:10 on a Saturday morning. We are Bill and Allison, and we're sometimes wrong.
But we're always right. We're
always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
Absolutely. Here at the Hill Country Patriot, your information station, we are never PC, that is politically correct, but we are what, Allison? Proudly politically...
incorrect.
Absolutely. P.I. P.I. Most importantly, though, we strive to be B.C., biblically correct. Although some people think our views are... B.C.
That's true.
Anyway, I'm a native Texan from the Panhandle, and Allison?
I'm a Native American.
You are a Native American. Not only were you born in America, well, I was born in America, too, but you are Chickasaw.
Part Chickasaw Indian.
We have a trigger warning, though. Allison and I identify as non-binary. We are non-binary. My preferred pronoun is Brandon. And Allison, what's yours?
I'm a PO'd American.
You're a PO'd American. We like to bookend our show with verses from the Bible, and today we're quoting from John chapter 14. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The really foolish thing that people often say is, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." He says, Lewis continues, "We must not say that one thing. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. However, let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. The conclusion of millions of people down through history, whether peasants or scholars, has been that Jesus lived, died, and lives again to change the lives of those who will receive him as he really is. The great need of the world today is to see Jesus for who he really is, the Savior of the world, and to place their trust in his finished work on Calvary."
Well, you know, Muslims believe that he is a great teacher. And we were, remember the mosque that we saw?
When we were in Turkey.
Uh-huh.
We visited the Jesus Mosque.
Uh-huh. Do you remember what city that was in? I think it was pretty good size.
Izmir, maybe?
No, I don't think it was Izmir.
But yeah, anyway. We met the in the gift shop. The guy running the gift shop was the former imam, which is like the pastor of the mosque. He's the former imam, and he was a delightful guy. He showed us how he had been featured in some American magazine, mm-hmm. and his phone, Oh, they have the call to prayer several times a day.
About five times a day.
Okay, and you can hear it all over town because it, you know, it rings the, you know, they have the call to prayer anyway, the, whatever.
As well, they ring bells and yeah. recordings.
And his phone goes off. He has an app that calls him to prayer, prayer time, and he's somewhere and he can't hear the call to prayer. And we said, well, we don't want to interrupt you. You know, I mean, it's time for your prayer. And he was trying to sell us something. He said, that can wait. That can wait. Oh, my.
Okay.
That was an interesting thing.
Interesting. The whole trip was very interesting.
Oh, it was fascinating.
Well, we learned there are virtually no Christians in Turkey, but they are not hostile to Christians.
No. Nobody we met was hostile to Christians. I would ask them, what about the Quran, which I've read, says you kill Christians wherever you find them. Oh, and the answers were things like, oh, that's misinterpretation, or that's real old, we don't believe that anymore. They kind of look at, my impression was they looked at Islam as basically we look at joining the Rotary or Kiwanis.
Exactly, you know, exactly.
It was just the thing you do.
Exactly.
You know a lot about Mother's Day.
Do you want me to talk about Mother's Day?
Sure.
Okay. Well, there's a question some people ask, is it a pagan holiday?
What?
And is it a pagan holiday?
That's ridiculous.
A lot of our holidays are based on pagan holidays.
Mother's Day, though? I thought it was a Hallmark card holiday.
Well, it's that, too. But many countries throughout the world devote a day, or in some cases two or more days, to honor their mothers. But the tradition does date back to pagan celebrations in ancient Greece in honor of Rhea, the mother of gods, and Cybele.
Cybele. Also, I believe Cybele was also known as Diana to the Greeks and Romans and all. Cybele, Diana, and she had another name as well.
Okay.
Cybele is really disgusting. I've written about Cybele. Her followers, the women, they ritually drank the urine of pregnant mares, which...
Horses.
Yeah, horses. Mares. But only mares. And that's just delightful. And they had ritual castration of men and all sorts of really horrible stuff.
So. Okay, so we...
Oh, and transgenderism, and basically.
We can thank them for Mother's Day.
Well, we'll get that in a second. But going back to Cybele for a second, the worship of Cybele is the... As far as I know, the origin of transgenderism, because the men would ritually castrate themselves, dress in women's clothing, it's all based on Cybele, and I'm doing this from memory now. Cybele's son Attis was a normal boy, at least in most of these myths, and the gods and goddesses are based on real people. Like Nimrod and such. Anyway, Cybele's son Attis was a normal boy. Well, Cybele loved Attis, but loved him in a very perverse way. I won't go any farther. And he didn't like that, so he went off and married a normal girl. But he was so torn by his desires to be a normal person and his mother's insane desire for him that he killed himself. And since then, the ritual of the worship of Cybele was that men castrated themselves and dressed in women's clothing. And that's the origin of transgenderism. It's purely pagan, purely evil.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
What you got to say?
Okay. Now, while it's traced back to the ancient Greeks and Romans with festivals in honors of the mother goddesses, the clearest modern precedent for Mother's Day is the early Christian festival known as Mothering Sunday. And over time, the Mothering Sunday tradition, with families worshiping with Mother, shifted to the more secular Mother's Day as children presented their mothers with flowers and other tokens of appreciation, which, as Bill said, makes it a Hallmark, essentially a Hallmark-created holiday. But Anne Reeves Jarvis and Julia Ward Howe are credited with starting the tradition in the United States. According to History.com, the origins of Mother's Day are celebrated in the United States dating back to the 19th century. In the years before the Civil War, Anne Reeves Jarvis of West Virginia help start Mother's Day work clubs to teach local women how to properly care for their children.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't pagan.
Right, exactly. And these clubs later became a unifying force in a region, West Virginia, that was still divided over the Civil War. Let's see. And Julia Ward Howe, let's see.
Yeah, she was bad news.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Okay. She was an abolitionist and a suffragette who in 1870...
There you go. See? She believed that women should be allowed to vote.
Exactly, yeah. In 1870, she wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation, a call for action that asked mothers to unite in promoting world peace.
World peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the answer that every Miss America contestant gives? What would you do as Miss America?
I would promote world peace.
Anyway, whatever its background, it's a tradition that takes us on its own life for mothers each year.
Yeah.
Your mothers will forever be the only ones who gave you birth.
That's true. That's true. So happy Mother's Day in advance to all you mamas out there. And give mom a break tomorrow. Take her out for a meal or bring in something, you know, to carry out.
I'd say cook her dinner.
Cook her dinner. Absolutely.
I'd say if you don't have a reservation at this point, you ain't getting into a restaurant. We discovered we were out of town visiting a friend. It just happened to be Father's Day, which we were paying no attention to because all of our fathers were dead. So we were paying no attention to the fact that it was Father's Day. And the four of us decided to go out to eat, you know, midday. And we could not find a single restaurant. We ended up at McDonald's because...
Well, the lines were just...
Oh yeah.
Everything was reserved.
Everything was full. Yeah. Everything was full. This is on Father's Day, which really surprised us. Yeah. So we had our nice lunch at McDonald's.
8:31 is our Hill Country Patriot time. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back...
We've got all sorts of things to talk about.
Oh my gosh, we've got a pile.
Okay, couple things we can tell you. Since you're boycotting Bud Light, we can tell you what to drink.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we've got several stories about you'll enjoy about Bud Light, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Bud Light is being boycotted, but not by the people you would expect to boycott them.
I'm interested in that. Yeah. And another store has gone woke, and. Hopefully we'll go broke, and we'll talk to you about that.
Yeah, we'll do that right after our break.
Resurrection, that's the name of the song. Resurrection, I've been down so long. Don't know where I'm going, ain't got no direction. Resurrection.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Well, today in 1975, Bob Wills died. He was born in 1905 in Limestone County, Texas. His first band was the Light Crust Doughboys. Then during his years in Tulsa, he and his new group, the Texas Playboys, continued to develop the swinging Western sound he had pioneered in West Texas, and his recording of his composition, New San Antonio Rose, which you're hearing now, made him a national figure in popular music. And by the time of his death in 1975, he'd received numerous honors, including a Grammy Award. Let's listen to Bob Wills and San Antonio Rose.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, a song of old San Antonio.
San Antonio.
Where in dreams I live with the memory, beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found, beside the Alamo, enchantment strange as the blue up above, a moonlit path that only she would know. Still hears my broken song of love. Moon in all your splendor, know only my
lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak once again of my love, my own, a broken song, empty words I know still live in my heart all alone. For that moonlit path by the Alamo and rose my rose of San Antonio.
That was Bob Wills singing New San Antonio Rose, 1940. And, of course, we played it because today in 1975, he passed away, I'm sorry to say.
And what do you think was named for after that band?
Well, what you heard was the Texas Playboys. And
Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys.
And we have our local Hill Country treasurer, Kinky Friedman, who's... band is Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys, which I suspect, we never asked him, but I suspect that's where he got.
I would suspect
that's
a
little
too.
Play on that name. Mm-hmm. 8:39 is our Hill Country Patriot time, and you're listening to Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Okay, Bill, before you go any farther.
I'm just sitting here.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's a good thing.
All right.
this morning, I was opening a bottle of eye drops, and first had to take them out of the box, and then there's a stupid plastic stuff that I had to get a pair of scissors, and probably took me 5 minutes to get that off. And then I'm not even sure what you call it. You can't just screw it off. You have to push it down and twirl it. I couldn't even open it.
Everybody's familiar with those.
I had to go and have Bill open it for me. But unless you're our age, you probably don't know why that all started. Most people in our listening audience probably have lived all their lives with packaging like that. You know, to get open a bottle of Tylenol, you have to push down and turn, and then once you get it open, there's plastic or paper inside that you have to peel off. But probably not too many people know the reason. See, it didn't used to be that way, folks. And it's not that way when you go to a lot of foreign countries. But the reason it's like that here is that back in, I think it was 70s?
Yeah, I think it was the 70s, up in Seattle, as I recall.
I thought it was Chicago.
Okay, Chicago. Well, now that you mention it, I think you're right.
It was in Chicago. What happened was some people discovered that there was poison in Tylenol. At one store. Do you remember how many people died? Was it just one?
I don't remember.
Okay.
We should do research before we go on the air.
Yeah, we should. But anyway, what had happened was a woman wanted to kill her husband, so she went down to her local pharmacy and took a bottle of Tylenol and put poison in it and brought it home. So maybe nobody else got it. But anyway, so she brought it home and gave her husband the Tylenol, and he died. From the poison that she had put in the Tylenol bottle. So ever since then, packaging has been almost impossible to get into.
Yeah, because of one person doing mm-hmm. something once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, the terrorists who hijacked the planes, all of a sudden all of us have to be humiliated when we travel by air
mm-hmm.
because it happened once. We're always fighting the last war.
Yeah.
They're not going to be hijacking another plane. They're going to do something different.
Right.
And then everybody's going to have to suffer because of that one person.
Yeah. I mean, I get the full pat down almost every time I fly. And those of you who know me know I don't look like a terrorist.
Yeah, well, that's... very clever, Allison. Oh, 8:42, Hill Country Patriot Chime. You're with Bill and Allison, and we're happy you are. Well, is anybody still drinking Bud Light anymore?
Probably not.
You know, it's pretty much everybody knows by now that Bud Light had this disastrous marketing decision to go woke, and they printed up a can with this transvestite or whatever he is, transgender. Dylan Mulvaney is his name, and he's he prances around on videos and wears women's clothes and makeup and uses women's bathrooms, by the way. Anyway, they gave him a lot. I never heard of him before Bud Light started promoting him, and they put out a memorial can for his 1 year of being or claiming to be a woman. Well, so conservatives, blue collar Americans, normal people, said enough is enough, and they're not buying Bud Light anymore or any Anheuser-Busch product. And what did we just do, Allison?
Yeah, our company puts on a convention annually in Las Vegas, and we just got back from it a week or two ago. And we have a couple of cocktail receptions, and I choose the brands that are going to be served. And under beer, I said no Anheuser-Busch products.
Absolutely not.
And I just got back the paperwork with my
instructions
with my bar bill.
Yeah.
And it said on it no Anheuser-Busch products.
Absolutely. Well, the boycott against Anheuser-Busch has been great, very, very effective. They've lost, I don't remember what it was, $2 billion or something in stock value. The executives who came up with this brilliant idea were basically fired, put on leave. Mm-hmm. They're not coming back. Sales has collapsed. The brand has been damaged. They never come back to what they were. But don't they still have the support of the LGBTQ plus whatever crowd? No.
Mm.
No.
Maybe they don't drink beer.
They're incensed with Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light for even attempting to perform some damage control.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. Anheuser-Busch came out and said, well, it's all misinformation, and we only printed the one can, and blah, 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 and it's all been taken out of context. But they never apologized for it.
Yeah, because
what
it's
do you do
because
in the first
it's true. It's true.
Well, it's true.
It's not misinformation.
Well, that's what they claim. It's misinformation.
Yes, I know that's what they claim, but they are.
Now, the first couple of Texas Radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Welcome back. That's us, Bill and Allison.
Okay, 9:06 is our Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station for the entire Hill Country, except those places that claim to be Hill Country, like Austin and San Antonio. But they're not. Not officially, and at least not in reality. What you got, Allison? You're going to tell us about, and I can't talk, I'm still cutting over a cold, so I got to get you to talk about the beer we should be buying.
I will. Okay, I'll tell you what beer you should be drinking. And it's a patriotic brewery that gives $55,000 to a big cause.
A big cause?
Uh-huh.
What cause is that?
I'll tell you in a minute. And it's family-owned Yuengling beer. And it's owned by Dick Yuengling. He's an American billionaire businessman. He's the president and sole owner of the Pottsville, Pennsylvania brewer, Yuengling.
He's the sole owner of Yuengling?
Yep, he owns 100% of it. Wow. He's the fifth generation of the family to run Yuengling and owns 100% of the company.
Well, they claim to be America's oldest brewery.
Yeah, he bought out his father in 1985. He supported and voted for Donald Trump in 2016.
No kidding.
And Bill and I were talking about this earlier. When we were younger, beers were regional. They didn't ship very far. So I grew up with Yuengling because I grew up in Ohio, and Yuengling was in Pennsylvania. So that was a well-known beer where I lived. And Bill said he did not know of it.
Mm-hmm. I thought when I first heard of it, I thought it was a Chinese brand. I really did. Yuengling.
Well, for example, Coors, which of course is all over, and was very popular. We could only get, we had heard of Coors, but we could only get it when we went to Oklahoma to visit our relatives. We could buy it there in Oklahoma.
Yeah, for a long time, Coors was only sold west of the Mississippi. And, of course, I, you know, growing up in, partially growing up in the panhandle of Texas, Coors was not that I drank it when I was five, but that, you know, that was well known. But, yeah, that's, well, Yuengling just came to Texas within the past year or two. They built a brewery in Dallas, I believe, that's why, I guess they wanted to, they didn't want to ship it across the, you know, halfway across the country from Pennsylvania, so they put a brewery in Dallas, and now they're here. And I'm very surprised that another company didn't jump on this. Their slogan now, I just saw it yesterday for their beer, is for in Texas, come and take it. Isn't that great for a company? I'm shocked that no other company thought of that. No, what Anheuser-Busch is doing is putting trans people on their cans. That's their idea of marketing. I guarantee you the head of marketing for Anheuser-Busch Bud Light has never been to a NASCAR race or a rodeo. Guarantee you they don't travel in those kind of circles. You know, they're too uppity for that. And this is what they think, that everybody's gonna we're gonna improve our brand by bringing transgenders to men to model bras and things like that. I mean, it's you know, there's a lot of truth to the saying, go woke, go broke, you know. A lot of truth to that saying.
Yeah, Anheuser-Busch is getting a huge backlash, and which could be permanent. For many beer drinkers who support traditional American values, they have at least one attractive alternative, Yuengling. As I said, it's based in Pennsylvania. It's independent. Mm-hmm. They not only promote, but they also donate to patriotic causes. Mm-hmm. And it's rapidly expanding west. Anheuser-Busch, which you might think of as an American company, is founded by what, Augie Busch?
Augustus Busch back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. But it
ain't American anymore.
It's now owned by the Belgian company AB InBev. And there's speculation that the foreign influence might explain how they misread its customer base so badly.
Well, I guarantee you nobody at this Belgian company that owns Anheuser-Busch now has ever been to a NASCAR race or rodeo. So they don't understand the American consumer. They ruined. Bud Light was the number one selling beer in America.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't anymore. They didn't understand their customer base. They hired some woke woman to run their marketing who's been kicked out the door by now, of course, they just ruined their brand, and that's fine. You know, great. You do something stupid like that, you'll get punished for it. Again, go woke, go broke. 9:12 Hill Country Patriot time.
Well, we're not done talking about.
Well, I'm not done talking about it either, Allison. I'm just giving the time.
Okay. But the Yuengling, after Bud Light sales started going flat, Yuengling tweeted a proud message about its heritage with the flag on prominent display.
Cool.
Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America.
Yeah.
Independently owned and family operated since 1829, because we make good beer. As a matter of fact, when Bill was out last night, I said, pick up some six-pack of Yuengling.
Yeah, we'd never tried it.
I want to try it.
At least I never tried it.
So I had, because I had to taste it before I did this story.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be promoting swill.
Exactly.
Like Bud Light.
And I can tell you it's a very good beer.
It is.
And I tasted the regular.
Lager. Right? Yeah, the lager. Yeah. They have a...
I think they have a light, don't they?
They have a light. Yeah, Yuengling has a light beer. I'm no expert on Yuengling because I just looked at what was on the shelf yesterday. But they have a lager, full strength, full beer lager. They have a light beer. They also have what they call, I think it's called Black and Tan.
Ooh.
Which is a combination.
I've heard of Black and Tan, but I think that's a drink.
I don't know.
You mix.
But I don't know. But anyway, this is Yuengling Black and Tan, and it's a mixture of their lager and porter.
Oh, that sounds good.
It could be. I'm sure it is.
And people have been noticing that Yuengling has the words "Let's Go USA" on its packaging as a part of an ongoing Stars and Stripes campaign designed to honor and assist American veterans. On Monday, Yuengling announced it was bringing back the special red, white, and blue can design.
Right. As opposed to the Dylan Mulvaney can.
Exactly, exactly. Yuengling is supporting Team Red, White, and Blue, a veteran support group, through these efforts.
Cool.
The brewery has donated $55,000 to Team RWB to support the veterans community.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that's very interesting. Although my favorite brand, I don't even know if it's still made, but we have some that we just, I don't want to open because I don't know if I can get any more, is Guns and Oil Beer. Seriously, that's the net brand, Guns and Oil.
How was it?
I don't remember. It's been so long since I had any. But we have a couple of cans, and I don't want to open them. It's such a cool name.
Okay. With Yuengling and its customers, the message is consistent. The brewery loves this country, its history, and the brave military personnel who have helped keep us free.
Wow. That's great. Yuengling Beer. Mm-hmm. So that's our brand from now on, if we can't get Guns and Oil. Oh, 9:15 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Allison. This is the Bill and Allison Show. You can find us online, of course, at hillcountrypatriot.com. You can listen live. You can also hear us at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. And that's where you can subscribe to our channel and get our podcasts, which are this show. But you can download them and put them on your favorite device and listen anytime you want. There's a little synopsis of our shows on each one, telling you which each one what we talked about on that show. And again, that's firstcoupleoftexasradio.com. And Allison is shuffling through. You have papers spread out all over the place.
I do.
This is all stuff you want to talk about.
It is. I'm looking for something in particular, but I think I can remember it. Peloton, which probably became really, really big during the COVID shutdowns, lockdowns. People weren't allowed to go outside, so they bought Peloton products to exercise at home. And they've had several recalls recently, and one was just announced that if you've bought anything recently from Peloton, contact the store or the manufacturer because it's being recalled.
Yeah, I think Peloton is really in trouble, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Business. Yes. Yeah. Their stock has dropped. And.
I have noticed that. 9:17 is our Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison. And we're going to take a real short break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about something that Texas has done that, as far as we know, no other state has done. And it is great news. Great news. And Buddy Brown is going to be giving us a little insight into that when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Again, stay with us. We're Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. We'll be right back. So much joy.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Texas has been on a roll, y'all. First, they pass a law requiring armed guards in every single school in the state of Texas, long overdue, and now they're one step away from banning Chinese companies from owning land there. And I'm here for all of it. Great job, Texas. Great job. Now do Bill Gates. Here's my question, though. Why the hell did it take so long? China's been buying up land everywhere close to critical infrastructure, too. It's like your wife's ex-boyfriend buying a house next door. No motives here. I just like the neighborhood amenities. The hell you do. While I'm glad Texas is passing this, I gotta ask, why the hell is this not federal law everywhere? No foreign country should ever own land on U.S. soil. It ain't like I can run over to China and just buy 1,000 acres just for funsies. I own this land. All the stuff you see out here, it means I get to dictate what happens out here on this land. Who comes in? Who goes out? If I want to clear trees, build a road, hunt, fish, trap, it is my God-given right to do so. It's a big old tract of land. Daddy didn't give it to me. I worked for it. I bought it. I'm out here and I'm mayor, sheriff, governor, and the damn emperor of every single ridge, dirt road, and dwelling. No one decides what happens out here except for me. At least the Texans understand this mentality. Think about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? He's the epitome of strength, kind of like America, at least on the outside. And it would be like me demanding that I go into The Rock's house and own a few pieces of his property. First, just a few barbells, then his squat rack, then his tennis courts, his jacuzzi, and eventually his damn refrigerator. How do you think that would go over? That's how insane it is to think you can go into another country with ownership and dictate things. Try buying up land in China, you know, as a U.S. citizen, or Mexico, or Italy. It doesn't happen. You can lease the property, but you can never own it. You can apply for citizenship, but it's expensive as hell. It's going to take years to get approved, not to mention the fact that you can only come and go at limited times. Even many Democrats I've talked to about this law say it's common sense because it doesn't forbid Chinese Americans from owning land. It forbids big Chinese corporations from stockpiling our resources. When you own something, you dictate 100% of the happenings. So the more America they own, the less America actually exists. Every foreign ownership is a hostile takeover, is what I'm saying. And as far as I'm concerned, if they're sitting their fat ass on our land, my future ancestors don't even get a chance to make a go for it because it's a hostile takeover. It's a hostile occupation, an illegal blockade. They'll come into places with a company set up in the name of like Hank Wells LLC, except Hank Wells is actually Hong Wu LLC and his 500 Chinese business partners. Their ownership ain't even valid. We need to make it federal law everywhere to extend it to all foreign countries, not just China, not just Russia, and God bless Governor Abbott in Texas. We need to elect people who are going to foresee these future problems and shut it down before they happen because those are leaders and nullify the occupations that are already here. Because what I'm saying is, y'all, buying a home from another country is one thing, but buying thousands of acres of strategic land, we all know what you're trying to pull. When I smell commies, I sound the alarm. So I hope you're on your congressman. I hope you're wearing his ear out over this stuff. All 50 states, ASAP, long overdue. This is what's going on. God bless Texas for taking the lead.
Yeah, that was the great Buddy Brown. Buddy Brown. He's, not familiar with him, you can catch him on YouTube. He's got a YouTube channel with a lot of good stuff. We play his stuff quite often here on the Bill and Allison Show at 9:24 is our Hill Country Patriot time. Another thing that Governor Abbott has done, he's deployed what he called elite teams from the Texas National Guard to continue the effort of preventing illegal immigrants from crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. He said, quote, first they put up barriers, whether it be the razor wire or other barriers, then have National Guard and Texas Department of Public Safety in front of it or behind it. Our goal is to repel people from coming into the country. He said that the razor wire had was an 18-mile-long razor wire fence had been put up that blocked a localized surge in illegal border crossings overnight. Blocked it, stopped it immediately. That's what Governor Abbott has done, deploying trained soldiers and troopers to take real action and respond to the crisis, according to him. And we're pleased he did. Gay bars are now boycotting Bud Light all over the country. You'll never be woke enough to please these people. You never apologize to the left. They won't accept an apology.
So why are gays boycotting Bud Light?
Because gays and transgenders are, I don't want to say in bed together, but they're peas in a pod. We'll put it that way. Socially. Okay, it's all part of the same movement to destroy our culture. Transgender. If you mutilate yourself surgically, you're never going to have a baby. Gay people don't have babies. It's all part of the culture of death. Proverbs 6:36. All those who hate me love death. Anyway, that's what's going on. There's a lot of of boycotts going on of Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch products. The Advocate, which is a pro-gay newspaper, news media, called for yet another boycott of them. They said, it's not Kid Rock and Ted Nugent who should be boycotting Bud Light. It should be us. It should be us. So this whole thing should be a parable for other huge companies. You know, we've got several of them doing this, getting woke stuff. No matter how much the media, entertainment, social media want to make it seem the world is full of lunatic leftists and that the gay agenda or trans agenda is, you know, well accepted, it's not. Most of America is still opposed to it. They're center-leaning right. They've basically been bullied into silence by the left wing. So, you know, there's no upside to denying God's natural order of creation. Men and women are different. You can't change your sex. You can't. You're born with. sorry, you're born with chromosomes. You got two X's. You're a man. You got an X and a Y. You're a woman, and that's in every part of your cell, every cell. So there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I was going to tell you about the beer you should be drinking, but before I do that, I want to talk about another company that's being boycotted. Because of the exact same thing, and that's Anthropology. And for those of you who are not familiar with it, men might not be. When I mentioned the name to Bill, he thought I was talking about a totally different subject. And it's Anthropologie. And it's a women's clothing brand, and their customers are boycotting because they featured an ad with a male model twirling in one of its dresses and showing his underwear in their dress. Anthropology ended up disabling the comment section for its Instagram post that featured an ad involving men in dresses. And its customers slammed the women's clothing brand and vowed never to purchase Anthropology products again.
Ooh.
Over and over and over. Some of the comments were, "No thanks. I only shop at women's clothing stores. Boycott Anthropology. Go woke, go broke." Another, "Anthropology believes men make the best women. I'm done with your brand trying to erase women." Other Instagram users accused Anthropology of attempting to erase women. And last month, a luxury lingerie brand, Honey Burdette, which once prided itself on having high-end products by women for women, they've changed its slogan to a luxury brand for all and posted an ad featuring a male clad in bra and panties. What this all boils down to, in today's society, women are seeing biological males introducing into virtually every space that once belonged to them. Everything from women's sports to beauty pageants, to clothing brands, men are increasingly erasing women's only spaces. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is fascinating to see the how quickly this has progressed. And I can't figure out why everybody has gone insane all of a sudden. I said on the show a few weeks ago, well, maybe it was the coronavirus that affected them. But Allison, you had a better thought.
I thought it was the vaccine.
The vaccine has gone. Well, we know it changes your DNA.
Right.
So maybe what's happened is it's changed the brains of all of these executives that have decided that, oh, it's a great idea to destroy our brand by having a man wear, you know, model a bra. So, I mean, it's insanity. It's total insanity. I don't know if you heard about the women's soccer team, the championship women's soccer team, but here's a comment on that.
Megan Rapinoe has made her career trying to argue for equal pay for women, and now she's going to create a situation where a man could take a woman's job. The U.S. women, that is the world championship women's U.S. soccer team, lost to a team of 15 and under boys in Dallas. Barely post-puberty boys in one city in America smoked the U.S. women's soccer team. If men who identify as women are allowed to play women's soccer, eventually there would be no women on the U.S. women's soccer team. This is absolutely the opposite of women's feminism.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
How about the 15-year-old boys beat the U.S. women's soccer team, championship soccer team?
Yeah.
Is that crazy or what? Well, speaking of crazy... That's our signal. That's our woke alert. Woke alert. Alice and I look through the most crazy things that we can find of wokeness and bring them to you. And it's a tough job, let me tell you, to find the craziest.
It's hard not to do the entire show.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. Well, CVS is our candidate for woke alert today.
CVS?
CVS, the pharmacy.
Okay.
Not CBS, although they're probably crazy too. CVS Pharmacy, they hire people who you would presume know about science and medicine. They've gone fully woke. Fully woke. They're going to require all employees, without exception, to buy into the falsehood that people can change their genders. Employees have been given a policy on how to address their trans coworkers, which includes orders. Any restroom is to be used by anyone at any time in CVS stores. Gender transition guidelines, and we got a copy of them. For employees who intend to undergo a gender transition, you know, mutilate themselves surgically or take drugs that nobody knows what the side effects are or what they're going to do to you. CVS told them to let everybody know that they're going to, CVS says, let everyone know in your store that you're going to have a gender transition or that you are undergoing it so the company can, quote, provide support and to make your transition as smooth as possible, unquote. It also, these, what do they call it? Gender, what did I just call it? Oh, gender transition guidelines. Quote, CVS Health encourages you. What's there about health in this? I mean, it's mutilation and taking drugs. You don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, in this guidelines, CVS, CVS Health encourages you to immediately report any issues that you might have with your employment, your work environment, your coworkers, clients, and customers. They won't even tolerate you, a customer who might disagree with this. You know, and if validating the decisions of confused people was not enough, CVS also told its employees, and we're talking about CVS Pharmacy, told its employees it will poison the working environment in stores. Now, they didn't say that. They didn't use those words, but I am. By forcing everybody on the payroll to pretend that a man masquerading as a woman, or vice versa, is what they say they are. So, in CVS stores, CVS pharmacies, women who might not want to share a bathroom with men no longer have a choice. And I'm talking about customers as well. You go in there, if you're a woman...
Doesn't the men's room have urinals?
Yeah, of course it does.
So that means, while you're peeing, some woman might walk in.
Yeah. That's true. Or you're,
and that doesn't even happen in your own home.
Yeah, that's true too. Good point. Yeah, yeah. We have separate bathrooms in our home. We always have.
We do, ever since we were first married.
That's what Michael Caine was asked by Parade magazine years ago, and I happened to read it and remember it.
He's been married what, 60 years or something?
Something like that. And it's, what's the secret to a happy marriage? He said, separate bathrooms. But yeah. CVS pharmacy employees are told to use bathrooms, any bathroom they want to use. It says, this document that CVS came out with, quote, any colleague, customer, or patient, transgender or otherwise, may choose to use the restroom and or locker room that is appropriate to the gender they identify with. And these people are supposed to be, you know, experts in science, okay? they think they're being progressive and joining the left in its charge to undo the country's social fabric. I don't need to make any more comments about it, but it does raise some serious questions about whether CVS Pharmacy is the right place for people to obtain quality medicine from people who are qualified to sell it. CVS pharmacies are asking consumers to trust their medication doses, their vaccinations, and other medical needs to a company that has taken a stand against science. That's CVS Pharmacy, okay? So act appropriately. That's all I got to say. Act appropriately. At 8:57, you're with Bill and Allison on a Saturday morning on the Hill Country Patriot, 104.3 in Kerrville, 102.1 in Fredericksburg. And this is your information station for the entire Hill Country. And we're happy that you have joined us this morning, for sure. Oh, we've got, here's something that's... the left is really upset about. This is a spoof on all the so-called, you know, various milks. Well, you'll get it, but it's really funny, and we thought you'd enjoy it.
Hi, I'm Aubrey Plaza. You know me as an actress, but I'm also the co-founder of Wood Milk, the world's first and only milk made from wood. Wood Milk started with a simple idea. I saw a tree, and I asked myself, can I drink this? As it turns out, the answer is yes, if you make it into milk. Here at Wood Milk Orchards, we grow our trees the old-fashioned way, right out of the ground. And we're certain our eco-friendly, artisanal, free-range wood milk will be the only milk you'll want to drink for the rest of your life. Why? Because you're thirsty, and because you want it. Because you want that wood as your milk. Our wood milk is bottled right here in the forest, which locks in the flavors like oak, cherry, maple, and of course, mahogany. And if you can't pick your favorite, that's okay, because they all taste like wood. Now let's take a look at how wood milk is born. Not born, exactly. More like squished into a slime that's legal to sell. If a tree falls in the forest, can you make milk out of it? Got wood? Is wood milk real? Absolutely not. Only real milk is real. Then what did I invest in?
Okay.
That was pretty cool.
It was.
That was sponsored by the Milk Association. And boy, the left is going crazy. They just hate this. They just hate this. Of course, the left has no sense of humor at all. So anyway. Well, we got to take a break for the news. So stay tuned for the news, your information station with Bill and Allison.
And coming up,
Country Patriots.
Coming up, I'm going to tell you what beer you should buy.
All right.
Google is excitedly announcing its new folding phone for $1,800.
Whoa.
Well, Samsung has had one out for several years, and I've had mine for probably at least a year, if not more, and it didn't cost anywhere near $1,800.
Whoa. Whoa.
It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't $1,800.
Wow. Wow. How have you been following the artificial intelligence discussions? But it's very interesting. Allison mentioned we had our business meeting in Las Vegas last week. And that was artificial intelligence can be really scary. Mm-hmm. We learned that.
Well, Elon Musk says it scares the hell out of him.
Yeah. He said, well, the godfather of AI, Jeffrey Hinton, has quit Google, and he warns that it's a danger to humanity. Becoming so advanced, Elon Musk says he's afraid it'll surpass human intelligence and begin to think independently, no longer listening to humans, even becoming a sentient, human-hating species. He's called for he and more than 1,000 artificial intelligence experts have signed an open letter calling for a 6-month halt to AI development while they research the risks. A researcher at OpenAI, who worked on the ChatGPT AI chatbot, recently said that if AI reaches human-level thinking, the human race approaches a 50-50 chance of doom. AI is capable right now of putting an image of you on a video, saying whatever it wants you to say, or whatever the program wants you to say, and your mouth moving, it looks exactly like you saying whatever they want you to say. That's how scary it is. However, there is good news, because the person who is doing such a great job on the border czar of the White House, it's been announced that Kamala Harris is going to be the AI czar. So she is going to save humanity. Yes, the same person has done so well sealing the border as the border czar. She now is the artificial intelligence czar. This is because, obviously, she is so intelligent. She is beyond artificial intelligence. She's so bright. And here we have a clip of your vice president, Kamala Harris, demonstrating her intelligence.
Today is today. And yesterday was today yesterday. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. So live today. So the future today will be as the past today, as it is tomorrow.
Kamala Harris.
She sounded drunk.
Oh, Allison, please. You're talking about the vice president of the United States, the AI czar, artificial intelligence czar. She knows far more than any of us.
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, was that not profound? Let's hear it again. Because I think it needs to sink in.
It does.
Today is today. And yesterday was today yesterday. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. So live today. So the future today will be as the past today, as it is tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. Just soak that in. Yes. The great Kamala Harris, our vice president. And if Biden is reelected, very likely will become president at some point.
Yeah.
So when you vote, if you vote for Biden, you're really voting for Kamala Harris.
Well, that's true in most cases, no matter how young the presidential candidate is. I mean, look at John F. Kennedy. There is always a potential that the president could die of a disease or be murdered, be assassinated.
Yeah, in the case of JFK, the latter.
Exactly. He was assassinated.
He was assassinated probably by the CIA with the cooperation, or if not direction, of Lyndon Johnson, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that lightly.
And RFK Jr. has been talking about his father's assassination. And
That's full of...
Didn't he also believe that the CIA?
Yes,
I think he wrote a book about it, didn't he?
I don't know if he wrote a book about it, but I'd like to read it if he did. But yeah, he is... the assassination of Bobby Kennedy is very, very suspicious. First of all, Dr. Thomas Noguchi, who is the L.A. County...
Coroner?
Chief coroner, yeah. Thank you.
I used to play golf with our city's coroner.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for that, Kamala.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
No, but he said that in the autopsy which he did of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Bobby Kennedy, he said he was shot at close range behind the ear, at very close range. And Sirhan Sirhan, who was claimed to be the assassination, was never anywhere near close to Bobby Kennedy in that way, and he wasn't behind him, he was in front of him, and he was several feet away when he did shoot a gun, is what they say. So it you know, the LAPD destroyed all the evidence shortly afterwards. There were pictures that appear to be bullet holes that are not consistent with the claim that Sirhan Sirhan fired at Kennedy. Sirhan Sirhan says he doesn't remember any of it. He was probably a Manchurian candidate, brainwashed, basically a robot. And it's, you know, there's a lot of holes in that whole thing. As there is in the death of his brother, John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy. And, you know, when you start looking into this stuff, it gets really scary and really, really frightening. Someday we may know, but probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. 9:32, you're listening to Bill and Allison on the Hill Country Patriot, your information station. And coming up, we have first part of our interview with Bill Hahn, who is the executive director of the John Birch Society. He's going to be talking about the threat to American agriculture and what we need to know about what's going on with American agriculture today. It's a fascinating interview, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break.
Your deal, Susie, I'm so glad you came along. Embraced by light, bathed in tears.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Well, a very special guest today is Bill Hahn, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the John Birch Society. He has a background in construction and publishing, a number of areas. He and his wife live in rural Wisconsin with their four children and enjoy serving as Sunday school teachers in their church. And he credits the foundation of his constitutional views from growing up on one of Wisconsin's largest cranberry marshes. Now, I thought it was a farm, but they call it a marsh, which I understand.
Well, I think it's like a bog,
it's like
isn't
a bog.
It? This is Allison, and I want to welcome you, Bill.
Thank you. Much appreciated. I'm glad to be on. Thank you.
Well, great.
I did not know Wisconsin grew cranberries.
Oh, absolutely. Wisconsin is the number one in the union in regards to cranberry production.
Oh, my.
You know, It grows, I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 59% of the world's cranberries, believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh. No, when I think of cranberries, I think there's a commercial with some guys in a cranberry marsh, but I think they were in Maine or someplace. I didn't realize.
Yes.
Okay. The war on farming and on farmers, and we talk a lot about it on our radio program, climate pearl clutchers, as I like to call them, want to put masks on cows. I don't know if you've heard about that one. Yes,
on their faces.
On their faces.
On their faces.
Because they say that's where apparently most of the methane is produced.
Well, and because they
burp. Cow burps. Yes,
well,
it's a true story.
Well, I will tell you, as somebody that's got a lot of experience cleaning barns, I've seen them eat stuff that was put in front of them, and yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah, no kidding, putting masks on cows. There is a war on farming, and there's a war on, of course, you know, don't eat meat, eat bugs, and all this, and lab-grown foods and everything. I know you've got a lot to say about it. Let's start with where is this coming from? Where is the idea that we should get rid of farming, and what is all behind this?
Well, believe it or not, it has a lot to do with, we'll put this into air quotes, saving the planet. You know, there's a move that's been underway for quite some time, since at least 1992, from the United Nations, as far as trying to put forth what they consider Agenda 21, and then as of 2015, Agenda 2030. And this basically has to do with elevating the environment above humans, and trying to get the world to reverse itself from its you know, so-called man-made global warming, of which we all know has been debunked on many different levels by many different scientists. But that doesn't stop them from using these particular campaigns as an excuse to usher in something that's even more sinister. So if we started off with the United Nations, Agenda 21, again, 1992, and the Agenda 21 program, if I can just read a quote here from one of their approved publications, and it gives you an idea of what they want to see happen. It says, effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. A major shift in priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. This shift will demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action be integrated into individual and collective decision-making at every level. So, in so doing, I mean, goodness sakes, how in the world would an organization undertake to accomplish something like this? And really, the only conclusion you can come to is it's government. Government is big enough, you know, to take control of business owners, consumers, taxpayers, and they will do this not just on a, you know, on a regional basis, but on a national basis and on an international scale. So when you have all of these regional governments that are vying for you know, all of this control, eventually then there will be a much larger, let's call it a one world government, that will oversee all of the transactions and, you know, human activities and things of that nature. So just to take a quick step back, the Agenda 21, what's going on then with all this climate change action, you're noticing that, especially with the European Union, you want to see where the political progressives like to play in a sandbox? It is the European Union. And so that is the model that the globalists and internationalists hold up as far as what they want to see the type of government around the world. So, the European Union has put forth that they will be banned, you know, so that we're talking about the global elites of that organization, as well as their members that they have, member states, and they are basically saying we are going to cut nitrogen emissions by a certain amount, and it's about 50%, if I'm not mistaken, overall, and so they rely heavily then, or I should say they lean heavily then, on their members in order to make this happen. And where are the largest nitrogen emitters coming from? These are the farms. And so in order to get them to cut their nitrogen emissions, so I'll take an example, and this will be the Netherlands. Now, the Netherlands is about the size of Maryland, okay? But they put out, they are, I think, the number one or number two exporter of food in the world. And they have a huge dairy herd, as well as, you know, we'll assume other beef cattle and things of that nature. So the government, in their infinite wisdom, Christiane van der Waal, to be exact, the Dutch Minister for Nature and Nitrogen, yes, there is an office for that.
Wow.
Believe it or not, yeah. So she said that she outlined her plans last April, and she, this is a quote. She said that her plans would accelerate and sharply reduce nitrogen emissions voluntarily where possible, mandatory where that is not possible. Hmm. So what she's done is she set up several funds, and farmers either have the option. Now, this isn't all farmers. These are farmers that are located in nitrogen-sensitive areas, if that makes any sense. These are called Nature 2000 or Natura 2000 areas that the EU has basically drawn out themselves. And so these farmers, they either have to innovate and reduce their nitrogen emissions, or the government will buy out their farms, and then the farmers will be thrown off their property. They also do have the option of relocating. But, you know, these farms have been in these families for 10 to 15 generations. Why would a government edict, you know, take priority over somebody passing on, you know, their family farm to their sons, their daughters? It is insane, really, what is going on. And I will tell you that the Netherlands wasn't the first place that this happened. Sri Lanka was actually the first places that this occurred on a large scale. They were an ag exporter for a while until climate change activism by their government actually killed the ag industry. In 2021, they had made the decision that they were also going to cut emissions, nitrogen emissions. And so they banned synthetic fertilizers. And farmers, you know, that were dependent upon those, I mean, a lot of them could not get the crop yields or even much to grow without that. So a lot of the workers pretty much gave up. Farmers said, yeah, we're done. And they went to work elsewhere. And now, in the year 2022, Sri Lanka could not even produce enough food to feed their own people. And they ended up having to default on a $78 billion loan to the Chinese Communist Party through their Belt and Road Initiative. And now the International Monetary Fund has come out with a bailout of $3 billion for that country. And this is all part and parcel for, you know, the globalists that try to gain control over these good, hardworking people through their government.
We're talking with Bill Hahn, who's the Chief Executive Officer of the John Birch Society. I didn't want to interrupt you, Bill, but I wanted people who might be tuning in a little later to know who they're listening to.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Sure.
So, yeah, so in their rush to, you know, cut emissions for a problem that doesn't exist, they're basically using this as a reason to control, you know, what we would consider, you know, the very hardworking, you know, farmers that actually, you know, put the food on the plates of, you know, almost every individual here across the world. And not only is it happening, you know, across the big pond, but it's also has landed squarely in North America.
Well,
I
was going to ask if you see this coming to the United States.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so it started in Canada last year, where Justin Trudeau announced that they were going to cap you know, the emissions as well, 30% cap by 2030. And then President Biden is actually leading the charge to get countries to sign a petition stating that they will commit to 30% by the year 2030 as well. And, you know, as we all know, you know, your listeners, the guests that you've had on before talking about this, there's definitely a war on farmers. It's been building for decades. You take a look at what has been going on with choosing the environment over humans. You know, the droughts out west, a lot of that has to do with poor water management. We'll take California, for instance. So there's gentleman by the name of Brett Barbary, who has said that the environmental policy for water, they let 50% of the water go just for the environment. So that's hands off for humans. The other 50% goes to humans for their use, and 40% of that goes for agriculture. Well, when you take a look at the San Joaquin Valley, which is considered the breadbasket of California, if not America, I mean, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of acres that you really cannot touch from a standpoint of getting water to it or using, you know, the water that is available. There was a report out in 2019 that mentioned that 535,000 acres of farmland in San Joaquin Valley would have to be left dormant in order to meet water conservation goals. And they weren't talking about just that growing season. They were talking about holding this all the way through the year 2040. And so we got to ask, what are we doing, you know, to our farmers? When you take a look at what's going on in the Midwest, okay, we've got American farmers in Iowa that are battling right now carbon capture pipelines that are supposed to come through thousands of acres of America's, you know, richest farmland. And they're, you know, I would assume that perhaps you may know that once you start to disturb soil like that, particularly for those farmers that are no-till or that they will do very, very little tilling, that soil composition, once disturbed, takes a very long time for it to get back to, you know, what it used to be. And many times you're looking at crop yields falling in excess of 15% to 20%.
We're talking with Bill Hahn, the Chief Executive Officer of the John Birch Society.
And that was part one of our interview with Bill Hahn. Part two will be in our next program. And if you want more information about him or his organization, go to jbs.org. That's J-B as in boy, S as in Sam, dot O-R-G. At 9:51, Hill Country.
But I have some good news for you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Do you know what is ranch water?
Ranch? You mean branch water?
Ranch with an R.
Ranch water.
Uh-huh.
Water that comes from a ranch. That's my guess. No?
No. It's a simple three-ingredient cocktail that's nearly impossible to mess up. The lead concierge at the Gage Hotel in Marathon, Texas, where her
We've been there.
Yes, we have. We spent the night there, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Her white... Buffalo Bar is frequently credited as originating the drink. And she was quoted in the Washington Post a couple years ago as saying, "A bunch of people out here refer to it as ranch water because cowboys are out there working hard all day and they want good water, but they want a little bit spiked." Ranch water's popularity is now spreading wildly across the country.
That's really interesting.
And don't you want the recipe?
Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
Okay. The recipe is 3 ounces of Blanco tequila, such as Espolòn or Casamigos.
White, in other words, white tequila.
Mm-hmm, white.
Not the gold color.
White. 1.5 ounces of fresh lime, in other words, 2 to 1, and fill a rocks glass with rocks and put the tequila and the lime juice in it, and then fill it up with Topo Chico.
Topo Chico.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us who don't know what Topo Chico is?
Okay, Bill. Don't admit that you don't know what Topo Chico is.
Okay. I won't admit it.
Okay. It's a sparkling sort of mineral water, sort of like club soda.
Okay. I assume it comes from Mexico?
It comes from Mexico. And here in the United States, well, it's very popular all over Texas. And here at the grocery store or at a bar or if you order it, it comes in a very heavy glass bottle, and you think, oh, how quaint. This is what they do in Mexico. Well, the funny thing is, if you buy it in Mexico, it comes in a plastic bottle.
Oh, my.
just like everything else.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. We're Bill and Allison. We're out of here. See you next Saturday at 8 o'clock.